Terry, there is a way in faith and in love to deal with persecution. We don't have to be run over. We don't have to be beat up. We don't have to be run down. We don't have to tuck our tail between our legs and run and hide. But we can hold our heads up high as believers in Christ.
When someone attacks your faith, how do you respond? Find out what not to do on today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Join Pastors George and Terry Pearson as they continue this timely teaching for the body of Christ.
Hello, everybody. We're Pastor George and Terry Pearson, pastors of Eagle Mountain International Church right here on the grounds of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And Kenneth and Gloria asked us to participate in these broadcasts all this week. It is a joy and a pleasure to be with you.
I'm glad they trust us enough to let us be on this side of the camera.
On our own, huh?
Yeah, we love being able to talk to and share with you. You know, as pastors, that's something that really brings joy to our heart is when we have a word from the Lord to be able to bring it to you and to help you. And this topic that we're talking about, George, with persecution, I know what's been on your mind. Mm-hmm. And it's not been about us or what we're going through or what we're facing.
Right.
But your concern has been for the people and persecution that all believers face. And you've been thinking about our friends, our partners, the people in our church.
Right.
And so the Lord led you as a good shepherd to dig into the Word and to help people to know what to do when they face persecutions of their own.
Terry, there is a way in faith and in love to deal with persecution. We don't have to be run over. We don't have to be beat up. We don't have to be run down. We don't have to tuck our tail between our legs and run and hide. But we can hold our heads up high as believers in Christ. And when you know how to walk it out, and this is one thing that I've done studying your dad through the years. I've been here over 30 years now. You've been here.
Don't go there.
Anyway, and so, you know, we've watched he and Gloria deal with criticism and attacks. And, you know, it's prevalent today with ministries. There's so many times that I'll go online and I'll look up websites of some of our friends that have churches and so forth. And when I go to the listings that they have, it's inevitable that you will find, you know, three or four different listings that you can go to of a particular pastor or minister. And then once you get down about five or six, you start getting down into the people that are saying these are heresy preachers and these are this and these are that. And so we are in a time right now, unlike other times in the past where other believers have faced persecution.
So not unlike times in the past,
excuse
right.
me. And so, but we need to know how to deal with this. And so that's what we're talking about all this week. I want to read something, though. The Lord gave me a word several years ago about persecution. And he said this to me, there will be an increase. This is 2004. There'll be an increase of persecution upon the church leading up to the second coming. The closer we get, the more intense it will become. If we prepare for it by scripturally learning what to do, we won't be caught off guard. We will stand immovable, unshakable, and unaffected. Because of our zeal for God in the midst of this persecution, salvations will take place at an unprecedented rate. The church is coming alive. Services will be filled to capacity. Those outside of the church who are desperate for help will come running to the places where the Spirit of God is in demonstration and in power. The persecution will be intense, but the move of God among the believers will be more intense. The intensity of God's manifested glory will far outweigh the slight inconvenience of the world's persecution. It is a small price to pay indeed for the manifested presence of God. So you see here in this word that the Lord had for us that persecution is called a slight inconvenience if we know what to do.
Well, there was a word in there. He'd go back to that. He said we would be prepared.
If we prepare.
If we prepare. We won't be caught off guard. Mm-hmm. We'll stand immovable, unshakable. Here's the word I like the most, unaffected.
Unaffected.
And that's where our victory is. The victory that the Lord promises us isn't that there won't be any persecution, that there won't be any trouble,
right.
But that even when it comes, it doesn't affect us. But then he says it's if we prepare for it. So this broadcast would be twofold this week. It's not only for those who are in the midst of persecution. You know, maybe your landlord's giving you trouble.
Yeah.
Maybe your family's giving you
neighbor.
Trouble. A neighbor or an employer. Maybe you've got legal troubles too, and things are not going the way they're supposed to. It's like somebody has it out for you. Well, you may be facing that, but if you're not, I can promise you this, something's coming your way. Just because we're in a world that the spirit of the world is to criticize, to bring shame, and to put other people down and
right.
to exalt themselves.
Right.
And so this, what we're going through this week is to help you if you're in the middle of that, but it's also to help you so that you can be prepared and be unaffected by it. Your greatest, chance, it's not a good word, your the greatest probability of you being unaffected is to be prepared, to be forewarned,
yeah.
is to be forearmed.
Yeah.
So whether you're in the midst of something now or not, this is a word for you.
And you know, Terry, the notes that I have from this series that I did in church, these are available online, kcm.org. Our partners
great.
And friends can go and get all of these, because there's no way possible that we can go through everything that I taught
all.
In, 6 weeks or so in church. Uh-huh. But you can access these notes, these scriptures. It's just important to arm yourself with this, because as the Lord said in that word, that persecution can come, but it can be a slight inconvenience if you know how to deal with it,
mm-hmm.
if you know what to do.
Inside information.
Insider information. And so here's what I'd like to do from this point out.
What would you like to do?
Well, there are some things not to do when facing persecution. When I started working on this series that I taught in church, the Lord began to show me there's some things that folks do that they shouldn't do when they deal with persecution. And of course, Jesus is the ultimate example
yes.
of us to look to. He, you know, Terry, our church has been reading through the Bible. We do that every year.
The New Testament.
And in the New Testament. And as I've been reading through, especially the Gospels, back when we were reading the Gospels, the idea of Jesus going through persecution. He was being followed by the Pharisees. He was being followed by Sadducees. He had people around him all the time trying to mess him up, trying to misquote him, trying to destroy him.
That those were like the news reporters of the day, because they would come and then go back into their pulpits, go
right.
back into the, because we know there were other people thrown out of the synagogues because they trusted in the Lord.
Yeah.
So, and it, you know, we don't think about Jesus, the level of persecution he experienced, because he made it look so easy
yeah.
dealing with
yeah.
it, but it was extremely intense. You know, these were people who had huge control over the thinking of the people of that
right.
day,
right.
Or influence, I should say, not control, but great influence. And they were supposed to have influence. God gave them that, but they were misusing that influence. And because of that, the level of persecution against his assignment, against him personally, against who he was always working
yeah.
to undermine
yeah.
what God had called him to do.
Those who live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But as Paul said, out of them all, the Lord delivered me.
Yes, amen.
And so what do you not do when you're being persecuted? What should you do? What should you not do? And so I want to read these, and we're going to put them up on the screen as well. But I want to read these to you. And then as much as we can this week, Terry and I are going to go through these with you point by point and help you in whatever situation you're going through right now. If you're being persecuted, like Terry said, by a neighbor or by your boss or whatever situation you're in, you can rise above it. And so these are some things not to do when facing persecution. Number one, don't take it personal. It's not about you. It's about him. Number two, don't bite back. Stay in love. You've got to know that whatever persecution Jesus faced, he always stayed in the love lane. He always stayed in that place of love. Whether he was overturning tables there in the temple or was holding on to little children, he was always in love, always stayed in love. Number three, don't forget your roots. That's why it's so important what this ministry teaches about becoming rooted and grounded in the Word of God, being anchored in the Word of God. Number four, don't blow your cover. Now, the scripture that we use for that is Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So don't blow your cover. Don't get out of the secret place. Stay there. Number five, don't freak out. Isaiah says, fear not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings. I like this one. Number six, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. You know, the Bible has much to say about the kind of attitude we should have when we're being persecuted. And it talks about being happy, rejoicing. And finally, don't swerve from the Word. Don't swerve from the Word. I got that from the 119th Psalm in the Amplified, the 157th verse where it says, many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not swerve from your testimonies. So we're talking about what not to do. Let's start taking this up here, Terry. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 10. Don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. This is not about you. Terry, could you read from Matthew 10, look at verse 22. What does that say from the Amplified Translation?
It says, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who perseveres and endures to the end will be saved.
So that gives us a really clear image that this is not about us, that we are not to take this personal, whether you're being investigated by the Senate Finance Committee or the boss is just really being unreasonable on the job because of the fact that you have a Bible
on your desk.
On your desk. And you've got to realize it's not about you. And I think, you know, when you don't take it personal, Terry, you can apply this to other areas of your life that you can really get out of yourself on anything. There's so many things that we're so touchy about that once you learn how not to take these things personal and realize that it's about Jesus, it's about the Word, it's about stopping the Word. It's not about us. When the attack is on, it's about Jesus in the attack on the Word.
Well, you know, we take it personal in the sense that we're very personally aligned to Jesus. But what you're saying about not taking it personal is it's not about me. And the reason that's important, George, is because in me, I have no defense. I mean, if I get to thinking about myself, then I may very well be all the things people think I'm. You know, we do fall short. We are human. We do make mistakes. You know, we become very aware of our own shortcomings, our own frailties. But if we don't look at it from our own personal standpoint, but we identify with him and realize that it's about him, greater is he that's in me than that's in the world. And he says, you know, that there are many trials and tribulations in the world, but Jesus said, but don't worry about it, I've overcome the world. Right. And so we connect with him, that it's not about us, it's about him, and that's a great wall to stand behind.
One of the greatest illustrations I found of this is in Acts chapter 9. Let's look at that. Acts chapter 9. And Saul was on a crusade against the church. And it says here in Acts 9, verse 1, and Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, desired letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, and if he found any of this way, whether they be men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. This man was absolutely on a crusade. He was consumed with this mission, and he thought that he was doing God a favor, actually. And it says here in verse 3, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Yep.
Why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, who you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what you must do. What does the Amplified say there, Terry, about that part, verses 4 and 5?
He fell to the ground. He heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me, harassing, troubling, and molesting me? And Saul said, Who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It is dangerous, and it will turn out badly for you to keep kicking against the goad, to offer vain and perilous resistance.
Boy, to offer vain and perilous resistance. But the point that I wanted to see here was Saul was taking these men and women to Jerusalem, but Jesus was saying, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Jesus takes it personal.
He takes it personal.
You ought to let if anybody's going to take something personal, let Jesus do it. And that way, he's the one that takes up your cause.
Right.
You know, we get behind him. Right. Let him take it personal, and believe me, he does.
And when you are, as we said yesterday, when you are doing the best that you can, when you are reviewing yourself and making sure that you're following the Word and you're doing what the Word is telling you to do. It's like Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I know this ministry inside and out, and I know the integrity, yeah. And so do you. We do everything we know to do to make sure everything is in line the way it is.
That's right. Even to our own inconvenience.
Even to our own inconvenience. And so when we follow the Lord in that, and when we walk in that, we realize that when these things do come, they are not against us. It's not against you, and it's not against me. So I'm not going to take this personally. Whatever kind of persecution that you're facing, whatever kind of hatred that you're facing, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, and you've taken your stand for the Word of God, and you're being persecuted because of it, and I keep going back to the illustration about somebody on the job that may not get a promotion because they're a believer. And this, you know, Terry, this is what one of the men of our church told me a few weeks ago, was that he one of the things that he faces in his company is that it's been very difficult for him to be promoted in it because his boss likes to go out with whoever he hires and promotes. He likes to take these guys out and drink. Well, our man at our church doesn't do that. He's a believer in Christ. And so, you know, he knows that he doesn't take it personally when that promotion comes and goes, but he also knows that promotion doesn't come from the north, south, east, or west. It comes from God. It comes from him. And so, do you want to say anything else about this issue here about don't taking it personally?
No.
Let's look at the next one. When you're facing persecution, don't bite back. Don't bite back. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And actually, Aubrey, our daughter, who graduate from Oral Roberts University and shared with me as I was putting this series together, I was talking to her and just telling her what I was preparing for. And she started telling me about when she was at daycare. And we've got a daycare out here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and it opened up actually when she was a baby.
She was the first baby.
And so she grew up in this daycare here until she started going to elementary school. But she told me, she said, Dad, she said, when I was growing up in the daycare, kids would bite each other all the time. And so what you would do is some kid would bite you on the arm and you'd go to the teacher and say, He bit me. And she said the teacher would always say,
Don't bite back.
This is such a key for us in our lives to not bite back, don't fight back. In Matthew 5:43 Terry, would you read that from the Amplified Translation?
You have heard that it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you to show that you are the children of your Father who is in heaven.
So there's instruction here that as much as we want to fight back, as much as we want to roll up our sleeves and approach any kind of persecution in a natural sense.
In a natural sense. And that's a key word, George, is that there is a fight back. We don't just resolve to be, a wimp, but we put our fighting back into the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And maybe it'd be important to mention here, the Bible says we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. So we want to, if we're going to deal with spiritual forces, then we need spiritual equipping.
Right.
And to try to lash out and fight back and defend ourselves in a natural course of things is to reduce our weaponry from something powerful to something that's probably not going to work for us.
Revelation in knowing what to do and how to handle a persecution situation comes out of verse 44. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you so that you can be your children of your Father which is in heaven. If you begin there, if you start there, and you don't bite back, you don't fight back, but you start right here, the Lord will give you revelation of what to do. And the illustration I use for this is the difference between Jehoshaphat and David. When Jehoshaphat was surrounded, he went to the Lord. They called a fast. They determined what to do about it. And the Lord said, don't take up your arms. I'll fight this battle.
Right.
Now, David, on the other hand, when they took Ziklag, he went before the Lord, said, now, what should we do? He said, pursue, overtake, and recover all.
And the Lord was in it both ways.
Both ways.
The point was that they didn't take up their own, by their own strength, they went in the strength of the Lord. That's good.
So a major key today, the two keys that we've learned today is, first of all, we don't take it personal. Second of all, we stay in love and we don't bite back.
You know, I was thinking about it this morning, George, about praying for people. You know, if there's such pressure that comes when people are criticizing you. And if we will go to that place of prayer and stay in a place of prayer for that person, not God do something with them, but God help them. God increase them. God bless them. God show your love to them. Devil, get away from them in Jesus' name.
Take up for them.
We do that until the pressure's off us.
That's right.
And there's freedom in it.
That's absolutely right. Praise God. We'll be back in just a moment. You stay with us.
The Bible tells us that we as Christians will face persecution. Maybe it's happening to you at work or in your neighborhood. Maybe you're being investigated by the government or the police when you've done nothing wrong. If you're a Christian, you will face persecution for your faith on one level or another. The good news is God gives us clear instructions on how to deal with persecution and walk in total victory at the same time, living above the pressure, completely fulfilled, and advancing in the things God has called you to do. Persecution, Why in the World Do They Hate Us?, a CD sermon series by Pastor George Pearson's, reveals why the world hates Christians, what can be done about it, and the seven things we must not do when being persecuted. You'll also receive information on how to get a free download of Pastor Terry Pearson's sermon entitled, Raising Lazarus, The Amazing Power of Abiding. Find out what Jesus did when he was faced with persecution. Learn to rise above the intolerance and persecution today. Order your copy of Persecution, Why in the World Do They Hate Us? By Pastor George Pearson's on our website at kcm.org at a special price of $20. Included in your order is information on a free download of Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson's dynamic teaching, Raising Lazarus, The Amazing Power of Abiding. To request your copy by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192.
You know, it's very difficult to teach everything that we've taught here in church over the last weeks concerning persecution, why in the world do they hate us, and that's why we're making available to you, our partners and friends, this series that I taught in church, an extensive series where we go into so much more detail about how to deal with persecution, understanding why we're persecuted, but also how to rise above it.
Oh, that's right. Rising above it. That's a good way
to stay above it. And then, Terry, of course, you have a great message
about how Jesus, what would Jesus do? And we talked about what he did as in response to persecution. And not just the points that George is talking about, but where did he draw his power? How did he draw power from heaven to rise above it? When Jesus was persecuted at some of the highest level before the cross, he raised the dead. How could that happen in the midst of persecution? Well, when you order this series of George, you'll get information when it's delivered and how you can get a free download off our website about that particular message we want to share with you.
I was actually there when you preached that message, and it was absolutely powerful. As a matter of fact, you know, many of these messages that you have made available are taught overseas when you and I go overseas.
Yeah, it's great.
And we're going to be in Europe in October and looking forward to seeing all of our partners
and
friends over there.
Check our website and get more information about where we'll be and when. We'll be looking forward to seeing you there.
Terry, would you pray over our congregation out here before we go today?
Yes. Father, we pray over all our friends and partners and every person within the sound of our voice today. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them in their inner man by the Holy Spirit, by the love of God that's shed abroad in their hearts, to rise above the troubles and the persecution that comes with this world. And Lord, to remind them that they are seated with Christ in heavenly places, more than conquerors in him who loved us. Amen.
Well, don't forget, we love you so much. Kenneth Copeland Ministries loves you. We are standing with all of our partners and friends. We're believing with you right now for whatever you need in your lives. Remember this, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org. or call us toll-free, 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure. The West Coast Believers Convention is at a new location. Come to the Long Beach Convention Center June 30th to July 5th in Long Beach, California. The Southwest Believers Convention is August 4th to the 9th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Great Lakes Believers Convention will be held August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For more information, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.